Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. We'd like to read one verse, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." As is customary in late December and in the first week of January, we tend to take a review of the past year and make plans for the new year. And perhaps you have made such a review and have determined to do better in life by God's grace. But more importantly, you desire to love God more and serve Him better. If you have concluded to do so, be sure to seek the Lord in prayer every day and ask Him to bring your spiritual growth into reality. But alas, because of the likelihood that you do seek a closer walk with Jesus, as I do every year about this time, I wish to address one of the aspects of Christian living. It is therefore my objective to remind you of the importance of the Word of God in your life. May you see the necessity of personal interaction with His Word. May you recognize the life-changing, soul-altering effect that the Bible can have on your life. So I've chosen to speak to you a message I have entitled, "The Power of the Word," rooted here, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "The Power of the Word." Let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank you for the privilege to be back in your house. And our heart goes out to those that are not with us today due to sickness or providential hindrance. We ask that you be pleased to bless and to meet those needs and heal the sick. And Lord, we just commit them to you. But we also commit ourselves to you today as we come together in your name to worship in spirit and in truth, that you would speak your word to our hearts, that which you've laid upon my heart to share this verse today, that and the truth of it. Lord, help us to be drawn to you. Let it take deep root into our souls, that we would love you more, and that, Lord, we would love your word and study it. And, Lord, make a difference in our lives as you promised to do. Thank you so much for this time. We do pray for those that are lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ and be saved today. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And it's for His sake. Amen. So, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, I want to talk about the power of the Word. And I would first of all notice the exposition of the text itself. We will look into this passage, and then we will see an explanation or some other related verses to our subject which is at hand. Chapter 4, verse 12 gives us some terms that need some explanation. And so, in this exposition then, notice first of all, notice these two words, quick and powerful. It says the Word of God, that's our subject today, is quick and powerful. The word quick is the word in the Greek for the word for life. It is to live. It is to be possessed with vitality, to exercise the functions of life. It is not a dead book. It is a live book. The Word of God is quick. It is alive and it is powerful. That word powerful, in the Greek, if you would look at that, you can actually see the word energy in it. And so, of course, the word means to be active. It is to be energetic. It is effectual. Sometimes people say, well, I don't really need the Word of God. I had a guy I worked with one time. He said he read it through once, and that was all he needed. Well, I see that he's just hurting himself a great deal because the Word of God is quick. It's alive, and it's powerful. It's effectual. It does make a difference. And so this book is not dry, it is not dusty, it is not dead, it is not ineffectual, it is not meaningless. If that's your view of the book, then I pray that today you would get a new view. Because the Word of God, we're told in the Scripture, is quick and it's powerful. But notice it also tells us in the text that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, of course, the word sharper means exactly that. It is to be sharper. It is to be more keen. And a two-edged sword, exactly that. It's two edges of a sword. And so a large knife or a sword, that's what it would be, a dagger, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Word of God is not dull. It is not blunted. It is it's able to penetrate. I have a knife that I have that was given to me a long time ago, and I'm quite honest with you, I'm not one to keep up with the sharpness of knives. And so I don't take it out, and I don't get it on a stone, and I don't keep it razor sharp. I couldn't shave with it. I can barely cut plastic with it or paper. I mean, it barely cuts anything, and you say, what's good to have a knife? I do need to sharpen it. I have to admit that. But my knife is dull. You probably could cut yourself if you put enough pressure on it with this knife. But other than that, it's a fairly dull knife. That's not the Word of God. The Word of God is much sharper than my little pocket knife, I guarantee you, because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And really, this is perfect imagery for these readers because they all knew the sword, right? I mean, we're talking about in those days of the Roman control there in the early centuries. They knew well what swords were, and they knew what a sharp sword was. And so we look at the Word of God, and the Scripture gives us that it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, with this kind of an instrument, what would you expect it to do? Continue in the passage. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder. Now, what does this mean? Well, we know what the word piercing means. And the word means to go through or to pass through. It is to penetrate. And but it says to the piercing even to the dividing asunder. And those two English words, dividing asunder, means exactly that. It is a dividing or a distribution. And so if you buy a chicken at the store and you take it home, you put it up there on your cutting board, and you get you out a knife, a sharp knife, don't use my pocket knife, you get a sharp knife and you start to cut apart that chicken, then you can penetrate the chicken and divide it asunder, right? Now, the Word of God is expressed. They understand these pictures. I trust that you understand these pictures. And so as a sword or a dagger could pierce, the Word of God pierces. As a sword would cut off, the Word of God will cut off. The knife will dissect and separate the parts for examination. Remember in high school when you had to dissect in biology class? And they gave you that frog or that worm or whatever it might have been. Some of you had done pigs and so forth. You took a sharp knife and you were able to cut asunder, divide asunder, take it out and look at it, right? Well, the Word of God does that. You say, well, the Word, that never affects me like that. It doesn't have any impact like that. Then you need to search your heart, my friend, because the Word of God is expressly told us that it penetrates and that it separates. Now, what does it penetrate and separate through? Well, in the text again, verse 12, just looking at these words, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And so we have two words found in the text, the word soul and the word spirit. The word soul actually is the word for life. It is the word soul, and it can also be applied toward the inner self. And each of us have a soul, but then we also have the word spirit. And that word spirit means wind or breath, and is translated as the word spirit. And I'm not going to try to utilize this text to say that man is a three-part being or a two-part being. That's not my point at all. Man's body, soul, and spirit, or man is just body, and then soul and spirit's the same. That's not my argument here. What we have in the text, that it lists that this two-edged sword pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Makes a distinction between the two. And what that tells me is, and what I believe this is applying toward, is that the lesson is that it enters into the very nature of man. It slices into the life and very being. It cuts into the heart and the soul of a man, reaching into man's relationship of man with man and man's relationship with God. Does the Word of God impact my life? It absolutely does. It reaches right into my heart. It discerns, and we'll see this in a moment, about my thoughts. It divides these things, and do you need that? I think we do. We need the Word of God in our lives, and I encourage you today to love the Word of God, to study the Word of God. And of course, that's the impact of this message, to see the power of God's Word. We're told in the text very clearly that it divides asunder soul and spirit. But then it also says at the end of that verse, and of the joints and marrow. You know what those words are? It's exactly what you think they are. The joints, you all have an elbow joint, a knee joint, all the joints of your body, that's the word. And marrow, and we all have bone marrow. Just like a knife can separate those things, the Word of God will make an impact. This statement of joints and marrow is a physical description. But it's an application of a spiritual action. And so the Word of God will reach down into the unseen parts of a man and reveal the individual qualities. That's what the Word of God will do. Some of you have had surgery, you know, on your joints, and boy, they can take that knife and they can cut in there and they can do what they need to do. And some have had replacement surgeries. And you know what a knife can do and what surgery can accomplish? The Word of God is of great power to each of us because it will reach to our inner being, which is exactly what we need. Now, notice the remaining part of the verse. It says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word discerner means that. It is to discern or to judge, to be able to make that kind of judgment. And so with perfect judgment, we can make a determination of the good and the evil. And God will do that through His Word. You go through your life, you do something, you say something, and God will bring the Word to your mind and convict your heart. And you go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. The Bible says I should be doing otherwise. That's what God will do. He will use His Word to speak to our hearts. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. That word thought means exactly that, is that our thoughts, our cogitations, our reflections, our thinking. Do you need the Word of God to penetrate your thinking? Oh, you absolutely do. I need it to penetrate my thinking. And it says to a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. The ideas, the notions, the purposes, the intentions. And so the Word of God will not only impact our deeds, that is, and bring those deeds under consideration. Oh, I've done this. And the Word of God speaks in favor or in opposition to that. But it also enters into the thoughts of man, even to our motivations. That's what the Word of God will do. I submit unto you, we need God's Word because man's heart is naturally bent away from God. And we still have carry, if we're saved, we still carry with us the old nature, the old man. And we need God to speak to our hearts, to reveal these things to us that we might follow after Him. Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to be found faithful to Him? Do you want to be obedient to Him? Then you need the Word of God. You cannot live a, quote, successful Christian life without Christ working in your heart through His Word. There is great power to the Word of God. And so we look at the text, and so he says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The power of the Word. This Word of God is not the same as any other writing. You say, well, I like Shakespeare, or I like this, or I like that, and these books really move me. Well, you might have some things that might interest you a little bit, and they might move you a little bit, and they might even be used to change the world in some concepts, but I'll tell you, nothing compares to the Word of God. Nothing. The greatest book you own ought to be the Bible. I mean, it is. It's just a matter of whether you recognize it as such. The Word of God is the most important book that you have. There is no other book like it, ever. This is God's revelation to man. And I submit unto you, there's a verse over in the book of Isaiah. Let me read this to you. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 55, verse 11, I want to remind you, since we're talking about the power of the Word, that the Word of God is always effectual. And this is what the prophet said. And God speaking through the prophet says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. What does that mean? That means that the Word of God is always effectual. It will always do the purpose that God intends for it to do. And so, but if you don't look into the Word, if you don't study the Word, if you don't be exposed to the truth of the Word of God, you're not going to have that impact. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad that you've chosen to come to the house of the Lord to hear a message from God's Word. The Word is what will make a difference in your life. And God has promised that His Word will not return unto Him void. What a tremendous promise that is. So it is worth your time to read the Bible. It is worth your time to study it. It's worth your time to commit it to memory. So I would encourage you, dear Christian friend, to consider the power of the Word. So we see these things in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. But I've also mentioned that not only the exposition of the text, but also there's an explanation. Now, let's take this subject a little bit further. I'm going to give you some verse references, and some I'll invite you to turn to, and others I will not. But the first thing that I would make a comment to you, these things are listed in the bulletin. They're on the outline there. But when we think about the Word of God and the power of God's Word in our lives, I believe that the Bible is essential to true life and living. I get that out of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, where Jesus responded to the devil with the temptation of the devil to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus answered this way. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now what does that say? What's the necessity of life? It's not by bread alone, and we all need bread. If we don't eat, we're going to die, right? But is that all that we should? Should all of our life be consumed and be able to propagate our own life? To continue to eat so I can live? Well, what does it say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Word of God ought to have an influence and ought to have an impact on our daily living. It's more. My life ought to consist more than just earning a living. It involves God. Secondly, I would remind you that it is productive. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Will the Word of God break the hardened heart? It will. Can it soften the stubborn soul? It can. God makes the light to shine out of the darkness, does He not? I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And the Word of God is productive. Remember, it's like that sword that can just penetrate the heart of a man. Share that Scripture with your children. Share that Scripture with your siblings. Share that Scripture with your parents. Share the Scripture with your co-workers. And see what God will do as He takes that Word into their hearts and lives and makes a difference. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So I say and submit unto you that the Word of God is essential to true life and living. It is also productive. Thirdly, in Romans chapter 10, do you recognize that faith comes through the Word of God? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You that are here that are saved, you've been saved by grace through faith in the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given you eternal life, but He saved you through faith, didn't He? He gave you faith. How does that faith come in order for you to believe? It comes through hearing. God grants faith through hearing of the Word of God. I'm so glad for the Word of God. That showed me my need of Jesus Christ. That showed me that Christ is the alone the Savior, and that what salvation truly was. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Now, dear Christian, since you've been saved, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you go through your walk day by day, and you wonder why it is that you don't have any faith in your Christian walk. Why might that be? I submit unto you, perhaps, I don't know for sure, but perhaps you're neglecting the Word of God. Because where does faith come from? Faith comes from the hearing of the Word of God. If you don't know the promises of God's Word, you can't plug it into your life. If you don't know the instruction of God's Word, you can't use it to guide your life. And so we need God's Word to teach us to come right into our heart to say, hey, this is right, this is wrong, this is what you need to do, this is how you need to be. And that will, the hearing of the Word is where we'll receive the faith that we can plug into our daily lives. So I encourage you, if you struggle as a Christian with faith, talking about Christian faith for Christian living, then I encourage you to get in the book and believe God and believe His Word and see what God will do through His Word. Let me share with you then in the fourth aspect that the Bible, the Word of God, we saw that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and I mentioned salvation, but the Word of God is used to save us. Yeah, isn't that what God used to show you the truth? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 tells us this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Over in James, there's a related verse that says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Those people that are lost around me need to know about the truths of the Word of God and express to them about their sin and who God is and their judgment and the salvation through Jesus Christ. If they don't know those truths, they can never, ever be saved. Did not God use somebody to reach you? Either somebody witnessed to you, or you were attending a preaching service like that we're in today, or you were in Sunday school. Somehow, some way, somebody showed you or you read and learned about the truths of the Word of God. And you knew you were a sinner. You knew Christ died for sinners and you could have eternal life by repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you were saved. That's God's grace and mercy in your life through the Word of God, isn't it? That engrafted Word is what saves us. God will use that to teach us. And so He saved us through His Word. But then number five, it is the Word of God is profitable. That's why it's so powerful. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do I find profit in the Word of God? Yes, I do. I need to keep reading. I need to keep studying. I need to stay with it because the Word of God is highly profitable. Much more than those magazines you're getting off the shelf and those blogs that you're reading on the internet, the Word of God surpasses all of that. I'm not saying you can't read magazines, and I'm not saying you can't watch TV or follow a blog, but I'll tell you, do not neglect the Word of God. The Bible has great power, and it will change your life. The Bible is also an offensive weapon in a spiritual warfare, and we're in a spiritual warfare, aren't we? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's an offensive weapon. The armor of God are all defensive except for the sword. The sword's an offensive weapon. It can also be used in defense, but it's an offensive weapon. The Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit. And we're in a spiritual battle. We must be familiar with the Bible. And then we can grow spiritually through the Word of God. There's a simple verse found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We've seen some babies being born here over the last year, and you know what? They all like that milk, don't they? Desire the milk of the Word. As babies need that and basic fundamental nourishment, we need the nourishment of the Word of God if we're going to grow spiritually. You're just not going to grow as a Christian if you neglect the Bible. I'll just throw it out there. If that offends you, it's just going to have to offend you. You will not grow if you neglect the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's what I just mentioned to you. But then I would remind you that John 17:17 tells us that it's through the Word of God that we're sanctified. Jesus in His prayer said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. As a Christian, you ought to want to live for Jesus Christ. How can we do that? It's going to be through His Word. That's how we're going to know how to live. That's how we're going to know to make right decisions and wrong decisions. Scripture says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's a mistake for a Christian to marry a non-Christian. It's just a mistake. The Bible's very clear. It's a mistake to go into business with a lost person. It's very clear. You see, the Bible teaches us those things. Sanctify them, and thy word is truth. So we need the truth, and we find it in the word. Go back to Psalm 119, if you would. Psalm 119. I'm expressing to you some elements of the power of the word in our lives. Two verses in Psalm 119 I would direct your attention toward. And I would remind you that the word cleanses us. Now that's very similar to the matter of sanctification, but there's a cleansing that the word can effect in us. Psalm 119 verse 11 is a very common verse. Perhaps you have this memorized. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 119, 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The word of God will keep us from sin, won't it? Haven't you seen that where people write that in the Bible? This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Now, that's not original with me, but I've seen people had that written in their Bible by preachers. The word of God will keep us from sin. Do you know why? Because he says, "I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I put my thought and will toward it." In other words, when we read something in the Word of God and it tells us how to be and how to live and how to think, we'll go, "Well, that's what God said. That's what I'll do. I'm going to set my affection upon it." And if we do that, well, then it cleanses us. But then if you'll go down to verse 105, Psalm 119, 105, I have a message on this verse, but we'll just mention it here. Psalm 119, 105, "The Word of God guides us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word lamp is like the word for flashlight, and the light is like for the word sun. And so what it is, the word of God is just like a lamp for our feet, but it's a light to our path. And so at night we could use a flashlight and we can see right in front of us where to step, what's coming ahead. And the sunshine, we come out here today, we can see a lot greater. The Word of God is good for us directly at our feet as we take our pathway, but it's also for to light up the whole area. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God guides our lives. Christian, do you see the importance of the Word of God? You see the power of God's Word? Will you invest in the Word? So I've given you an exposition. I've given you an explanation. Let me give you an exhortation. This is my closing thoughts. It's my conclusion. But it's my exhortation. First of all, we must recognize the importance of the Word of God. We must. I know that God can use you aside from really getting into the book. I know that you can be blessed aside from that. God saved me, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. But He taught me the Bible as I heard the preaching of God's Word, and I knew I was a sinner. I knew Christ was my Savior, and He gave me eternal life. I read my Bible off and on, spotted. But you know what God did as I continued to attend the services of the Lord and hearing the Word of God preached? Is He called me into the ministry. Now, I went to Bible school to prepare for the ministry. And I was a sophomore in college. And it dawned on me, you know what, here I am. I've been called to the ministry. And I've been preaching some. And I'm studying to preach and all that. And I've never read the book through. So way back in 1979, I committed my heart and my life. God, I'm going to be devoted to Your Word. I'm going to read it. And I want to study it. I want to make it a part of my life. And that first year, I read it through four times. That takes a lot of reading, by the way. Especially for me, I'm slow. Four times I read it through. I haven't read it through four times in a year since. But I tell you, I've kept up with that. I read the book. And what a change in my life occurred as a sophomore in college as I really got into the Word of God. What a difference it made in me. Recognize the importance of the Word. Number two, we need to secure a copy of the Bible for our possession. If you don't have a Bible, you know what? We'll get you a Bible. But most people in our society have a Bible. You can have a Bible. And some of you got it on your phones. I think you're back there playing games, but I know you're looking it up. I'm going to trust you're looking it up on your phone. But aren't you glad you have the Bible? You have an opportunity to read it. Let it speak to your heart. But if you don't have a copy, we'll get you a copy. This church, I imagine the church will allow me to do this. You do not have a copy of the Bible. we will buy you a copy. This church will give you a copy. I'm not saying that to everybody on the internet, but I'm saying it to this congregation. Number three, we must do more than possess it. We must give it a priority. So I encourage you, get a Bible, own a Bible, seek to read it, and be familiar with its contents. You're not going to memorize it all. Nobody's going to do that. You're not going to understand everything. Nobody's going to. But do what you can. Get familiar with it. Understand its precepts. Learn its truths. Apply its truths to your life. If you're going to read it and ignore it, all it's going to do is convict you. Apply it. Apply it. And the Bible teaches us that we should study it. Number four, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Learn the word of God. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I admit that. But I have some grasp of the book. And I've been reading it since 1979. And I'll keep on reading it by God's grace. I want to get sharper. I want to learn more. I want to know more. We should study it, shouldn't we? And I submit unto you in the fifth aspect that we should have a spiritual desire for God and the things of God. If you're saved, I think you have that. You have a desire for God and the things of God. But how does the Word of God involve in that? Spiritually speaking, a famine of the Word is a bad thing. If you don't hear the Word of God and you don't have the Word of God, if you don't read the Word of God, you're going to feel yourself spiritually dry up. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation, but you spiritually you can sense that. When I went to Brazil back in the early 2000s, and I was there for 2 weeks, and I had my Bible, I read my Bible every day, but all the preaching that I heard was in Portuguese. And so it was like I wasn't in church for 2.5 weeks. And you know what? By the end of that 2.5 weeks, I felt like that I was just drying up. I wanted to hear some preaching that I could understand. Not that the preaching wasn't good, it was excellent, but it was in Portuguese, and I don't know Portuguese. Spiritually speaking, a famine of the Word is a bad thing. But spiritually speaking, the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word is what we need. We read about the milk. We also need the meat. And I submit that a spiritual healthy person will hunger and thirst after God and His Word. If you're healthy physically, you're going to have a desire to eat and to drink food. You need that. And if you're healthy spiritually, you're going to desire the things of God. I encourage you, dear Christian friend, and you say, well, I don't have that desire. I don't have that interest. I don't want to know anything about the Bible. Then you ought to check out your spiritual condition. Maybe you're not saved, but if you are saved, you're certainly spiritually emaciated because there's no desire for the things of God. Now, you have some desire because you're here today. I'm glad for that, and I encourage you. I just want you to love the Word of God and to read the Word of God and make it an integral part of your life. And then I would say unto you, lastly, that we must teach it to our children. It's my obligation to train my children and teach them as they grew up the Word of God. Just don't depend upon the church to do it. It's great to bring them to church. It's great to bring them to Sunday school. But it's your obligation as a parent to teach your children the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. Oh, by the way, let me just throw this in as a freebie. You know what? If my children have never seen me read my Bible, they would think, God, you know, my dad doesn't have any interest in the things of God. I don't read in front of them just for the matter of reading in front of them, but I know that they know that I love God's Word. And if they walk away from that, they walk away from it, but it's not because I taught them to walk away from it. They know I believe the Word, and they know I read it and study it. We must teach it to our children. We must. So in summation, three words: possession, priority, and purity. Possess the Word of God, right? Make it a priority in your life, and you'll see the purity that comes out of that. I encourage you to love the Word of God. You say, well, I've struggled with that. Life is busy. Life is difficult. I understand that. We all have that problem. But somewhere, squeeze it in. Take time to spend time in God's Word, seeking God's face. And if you can't do it every day, then do it every other day. But as often as you can, get before God in His Word and see what God will do. And ask Him, God, You're the author of this book. You take Your Word, work it in my heart, make me what You want me to be. Ask God to work in your life through His Word. I believe that God will do what you're praying. And I believe God will change your life. And God will make a difference. Didn't say that everything in your life will be totally changed around. But maybe you'll respond differently to your circumstances than what you were before. And that'll make a difference. So many aspects, we don't have time to elaborate. I just want you to love the Bible. Love God. Seek His Word. Put it into practice. Keep coming to the services so you can hear it. But read it on your own. I encourage you to do that day after day after day. May God bless you. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts and accomplish that purpose whereunto you sent it. And we know that you will. So we thank you. Meet every need, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two.